Hi, I'm John Brown, publisher for Strategic Markets here at TechTarget, and welcome to TechTarget's IT Agenda on Target. Today, we're talking about virtualization and the impact it is having across IT. Along with me today is Mark Schlack, Vice President of Editorial for TechTarget. Welcome, Mark.
Thanks, John.
Virtualization kind of burst on the scene about 5 years ago. Where are we in the adoption curve?
Well, virtualization has really taken data centers by storm. There's no doubt about that. And it's really the most dramatic shift in computing since the advent of the PC, in my opinion. So we're past the initial phases, but we're far from done.
So what do you expect for 2010?
Well, we did a survey across our network in late 2009 that showed that virtualization is very popular and will be in the coming year. So recently I talked with Alex Barrett, news director for our virtualization and data center media group, to get some insights into why and how people will be doing virtualization in 2010.
Excellent. Let's listen in.
Alex, we did a survey across our whole network recently, and we asked people what their top projects were for 2010. Here's what we found out. You can see on the slide that the brighter blue shows virtualization projects, and server virtualization was actually the top project among the 41 that we asked about. So in a down economy, how do you explain that this new technology gets the top spot among all these projects?
Well, it's interesting. So, you know, people usually start with virtualization because they're up against some sort of constraint. So whether it's a power constraint or a space constraint, you know, but what they find out really quickly is that not only do they get their money back fast, but they can actually start saving money going forward. And obviously that helps with the budget cycle.
Especially in a recession year.
Right.
Well, you've talked to a lot of people out there who are doing these projects. What are they looking for in savings? Is it capital expenditures or data center space and power or operational staff? What's up?
Yeah, it's a little bit of all those things. So initially there's a savings on hardware, just buying fewer servers. There's a savings on power, there's a savings on space, and then further on there's operational benefits and ease of management, and it also lays the groundwork for future projects like DR, disaster recovery, or desktop virtualization down the road.
And disaster recovery, as we saw, is a big emphasis for a lot of people.
Very
so those
so.
Dovetail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, given that, you know, virtualization isn't brand new, you've been covering it for 4 or 5 years yourself,
mm-hmm.
What are the types of things that will be the mainstream projects in 2010?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really unusual to find a mid-size or a large shop that doesn't have any form of virtualization at this point. So really, this year is about wherever you are on the road to virtualization to get further along that. So if you're at 20%, to get to 50%. If you're at 50%, to get to 80%. That's what I see.
Yeah, just incremental progress.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talk to people who are at 20%, and when you talk to people at 80%, what's the difference between them?
Yeah. Well, the people at 80%, you know, they don't have much left to virtualize, and so they've picked all the low-hanging fruit, as it were. So they're looking at virtualizing their databases, their Exchange servers, PeopleSoft, SAP, you know, high-value,
mission-critical
stuff.
Yeah.
What they sometimes find is they need to bring in reinforcements in the form of performance management software that helps them look at the end-to-end response time of their applications.
And is that for troubleshooting? Or?
Yeah, in part for troubleshooting, you know, where in the stack the problems occur, but also to show the application owners themselves that the apps are working as they should be in a virtual environment, because otherwise sometimes they might balk at that.
Yeah, you can tell an important technology that actually basically works when one of the big problems is just gaining confidence. It's not the actual technology itself.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. One of the things I wanted to ask you about was, are you surprised about the good showing for storage virtualization in our survey? That's a technology that's been a bit sleepy over the recent years.
Yeah. Initially I was. But, you know, when you take a step back, it actually starts to make more sense. So if you think about storage virtualization having progressed from this idea of a single pool of storage to more of a shorthand for advanced management functionality like snapshots and clones and dedupe, thin provisioning, thin provisioning in particular has a big role to play in server virtualization.
So it helps people be able to match up servers with storage without over-provisioning the storage. They don't have to sacrifice extra storage to virtualize machines.
Exactly, because you know one of the things that I hear is that I saved a lot of money on the server virtualization side, but it got eaten up on the backside by my storage consumption.
Uh-huh.
So thin provisioning can help rectify that.
Good stuff. Another technology that's a little behind the curve is desktop virtualization. Where do you think that's going to go in 2010?
I think we're going to see a lot of trials in 2010. The leading vendors are working really hard to fix problems in terms of performance and functionality and get that up to speed. But still, the jury's out as to whether or not people can actually save any money. So in a down year, that might not be a go.
Yeah, high on the list. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing a lot of interest in healthcare, with the whole explosion mm-hmm. of electronic health records in desktop virtualization. But it sounds like it. Maybe apart from healthcare, 2010 is not going to be the takeoff year for desktop.
Yeah, probably not. A more realistic target would probably be 2011.
Well, we can talk about that next
year.
There you
go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was interesting. So it seems that virtualization is going into its second phase. Most organizations have made their first purchases of server virtualization. Some rare organizations have embraced virtualization deeply. But the intelligence that we have suggests that the actual penetration of server virtualization is not terribly deep in the typical mid-sized organization.
Yeah, I agree that we're in a new phase. I mean, some virtualization is underway almost everywhere, and it's actually on the increase almost everywhere, too. But, I think the main thing that we see is that everyone gets the basic benefits at this point.
I would still think that they don't necessarily get the differences, though, between the various platforms and tool sets, as far as enhanced manageability, price, differentiation, etc.
Yeah, I agree with you there. That's a subject of a lot of debate. And also, involvement with server virtualization has spread from the initial group of server admins who are very enthusiastic about it. So, when 20 servers were being virtualized, probably the network guy didn't know too much about it, didn't care too much about it. But if you have 300 servers, each with 10 virtual machines on it, you got to know the network guy is involved or they're just going to choke the whole network with all that traffic. Mm. So we're seeing this broader group.
Mm. So now you've got the networking team, the storage team, and other IT pros responsible for enterprise applications like email, CRM, and ERP being involved in those decisions today more than ever.
Yeah, we're definitely seeing that. We're seeing that some of our data center audience, in fact, has morphed into a new position. People who were server managers are now infrastructure managers. And they have to coordinate with all these other people. As you mentioned, storage is affected, network is affected, so on and so forth.
Mm. But do each of these different members of the team, do they have different questions around virtualization?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're still doing their core jobs, and the questions they have around virtualization would be, how it affects them. So understanding whether you need to address this whole committee of people or whether you're really talking just to one particular discipline is really key here, because everybody isn't interested in all the same things, yet there are certain things that affect everybody.
Hmm.
So it's tricky.
Interesting. And now desktop virtualization is a completely different animal. Like Alex said before, the market isn't nearly as mature as the market for server virtualization, but it's a project that's on the radar for many firms in 2010.
I'd agree with you there. And one of the big issues that we're seeing in 2010 is that there are many flavors of desktop virtualization. And it's not just a buzzword problem, like what does one mean, what does the other mean? Each of these different flavors actually fits different scenarios. So you really have to distinguish for people, what problem are you solving?
So do you think that the vendors need to be clearer about that?
Absolutely. And I think they also need to avoid that temptation to say, whatever your problem is, we can fix it. And I'll give you an example. In a hospital, their rationale might be that they want to solve the problem of providing people with applications while still protecting patient data. Because, they're very sensitive, but they're under regulations like HIPAA, where they can't just give you a laptop with patient data to a doctor. He drives to the country club and someone takes it out of the back seat. But, if you were in a professional services environment where people are flying around the country doing work for different customers, that could be a completely different question.
We're also learning quite a bit about user research and buying behavior. Recently, we started activity-based tracking. And here's an example of one vendor, actually a storage vendor. And this is activity tracking from one individual who accessed assets across the library. Here is the progression of the research. We can see initially that this individual started out by accessing white papers and technical articles, early stage assets, that sort of thing. On day 7, this individual actually did access this vendor's assets. More research progressed, and you can see pieces there. And then on day 22 of this buyer's journey, she accessed another asset from that same storage vendor. This tells us something. What it tells us is it's important to have assets accessible for all phases of the buying cycle. This buyer started off with largely editorial content and very general early stage content, but we do start to see that as she goes down the progression, she's accessing webcasts, case studies, and items which require greater time commitments to digest. And what this tells us is that this person is actively researching vendors.
So, John, what are the key lessons that an IT marketer should understand about virtualization today?
Well, first, virtualization buyers are more sophisticated. For server virtualization, secondary differentiators are starting to be more important than the primary ones. Desktop virtualization is also heating up. It's a first-buy scenario, and buyers are looking for quick wins. Content about pilot projects and primary technology, how does it work, is important to this audience right now. And then the third piece is content. Plan on having content for all stages of the buying cycle, from early research that provides editorial alignment all the way through shortlist creation assets and decision stage assets. Plan for multiple interactions with the same individual. We call this repeat positive contact. Well, that's it for this episode of On Target. Tune in next time to make sure you're on target with your market. You can also download the full results of the survey we just discussed from the For Marketers section of TechTarget.com.